This is the evolution. We said that we can feed 400 million people. We hope in 2030 to feed 600 million people. It is a responsibility that is tied to food safety and FAO, FAO demands or requests. Maybe you've seen some production data from Argentina. We are the first world exporter of soybean oil, pears, lemons, lemon juice, honey, soybean meals, and biodiesel. We rank quite high as world exporters in sunflower oil, corn, sorghum, sunflower meal, olives, soya bean, apple juice, beef. We rank number 6, powder milk, wines. Maybe I'll show a video about the International Wine Congress next year. Wheat and poultry. Poultry was almost, Argentina was not in the ranking of poultry production, but now we come 6 or 7 in that ranking. The general goal of our agricultural policy is to promote the consolidation of an efficient agriculture that takes into consideration sustainability and adds value to our national production. This is our general goal. We are trying to meet and use the instruments of the Millennium Goals. If we sum up land situation in Argentina, we see that 1% is producing fruits, artificial pastures, 4%, annual crops, 12%, lakes and rivers, 2%, roads, cities, 1%, natural forests, 30%, 32 million hectares of native forests, 32% of native forests, most of them national parks, 10% mountains, and then we have a 39% of natural grass and deserts, where we have the potential to expand agriculture using new technologies so that we do not affect biodiversity and sustainability. This is a graph that shows Argentine exports. It has already been explained. The slide is in Spanish. I didn't have time to translate it. But you see that grain, the oilseed complex, first transformation, second transformation, has a very high incidence, fats and oils, soybean byproducts, soybean meal especially, and we see that we have a concentration on certain types of products, though we have a lot of fish. Last year we exported more than $1,000 million of fish and seafood, sugar, we have dairy products, beverages. Here we include wines and other types of beverages, but this is the distribution. What should we do to meet the goals? First of all is technological goals and new production targets. Gustavo mentioned them. Then we have to diversify regional production, adding value. We need to diversify production, and we need to add value. Then we need land administration, environmental administration. We are working very hard on rural land administration. It is not an easy task. It includes provincial policies, territorial issues, social issues, land occupancy, but Argentina needs to organize this agriculture expansion, this urban expansion that has been really significant. Many of the conflicts we have in the peri-urban areas near Rosario, Córdoba, and other cities, we have conflicts in that are tied to private, to gated communities. Gated communities where that are using or taking certain green land, and now conflict with urban areas. We are focusing on that to define the minimum distance to spray agrochemicals in land surrounded urban areas, and we are based on European standards that are the most stringent in the world, so that nobody can spray agrochemicals at random. And some people regulate it has to be 2 kilometers away, 5 kilometers away from urban areas. But we are discussing that to be based on scientific reasons. We think about sustainable use of land, rotation, family agriculture. Rotation, I believe, is important, but as Victor Trucco said, we should not die over rotation. Rotation is significant to control weeds, to control weed resistance, but maybe not so much for organic matter issues. But of course, a good crop rotation is desirable. Then bioenergy development, something that started to be discussed in recent years. It is extraordinary what we can do. Not only biofuels. I believe biofuels will be just a temporary solution, though everybody talks about this bioethanol, biodiesel. Germany does biogas with from corn, but that will be over, and we will transform waste and cellulose in fuels. We will resort to raw materials that will not compete with food. And then we need institutional innovations. Argentina is a leader in this matter, because you asked, how can a person that who does not own any land be a farmer? Well, this is an institutional innovation. This country has got the best institutional innovation in the world. The ministry is facing these challenges, this origin and destination sustainability. I don't remember how Gustavo called them. We created this smart agriculture program, and this program includes different components that allow us to say that agriculture in Argentina is sustainable. You can take any point of view, but it is sustainable, and we can prove it. We have reduced the greenhouse gas emissions. We are working and measuring these emissions from bovine cattle, methane, through public and private associations and partnerships with APRESID, ACREA, the Ministry, and the National Institute of Agricultural Research. We have an integrated pest management. We have no-till. We have land administration, good agricultural practices, which is the basis for our sustainability, good practices, and penalties imposed on those technicians that do not monitor any spraying or any agrochemical use. Appropriate use of water and soil. We really make good use of water. Most of the agriculture in Argentina is dry land. We have developed protocols and guidelines. We are focusing on bioenergy, ambient agriculture, forestation. In Argentina, we have 1.25 million hectares of implanted forest. We have to increase pine forestation. We are replacing nutrients to avoid soil mining, biotechnology, and crop rotation. These are the bases for this smart agriculture that we are using. This is the agricultural border expansion since the 50s. You see how it has expanded to the northwest and the northeast. The four pillars can be summarized as no-till, crop rotation, biotech, agrochemicals, and stewardship. Stewardship of this type of agriculture and precision agriculture. This graph shows how since 1980s the GMOs, and the pesticides and the use of inoculants, fertilizers, the silo bag, maybe you've seen it when you visited the field. Silo bags is a technology that is being exported to India. The world is losing 35 to 40% of food in the post-harvest, in the grain handling stages of production. In India, they lose 40% of their harvest, of their crops, after it is harvested, because they store grain as they used to store them thousands of years ago. So silo bag is really a good thing for these countries where their storing facilities are not modern. And then we have precision agriculture that has started in the year 2000. This was shown by Victor, traditional plowing. You have the plow there, the different types of plows, but no-till, with all the stubble on the land, protecting the soil from wind erosion, water erosion, and allows better infiltration of rainfall, and of course protects mineralization of organic matter. This is a comparison between conventional tillage versus no-till. The total fossil energy and the erosion risk in both cases. As to fossil fuels, we save 33%, and in terms of erosion risk, they go down by 70% if you use no-till. This is the no-till area in Argentina. I think it is an appreciated graph. The evolution of no-till area since the 70s, the significance of APRESID in disseminating no-till. And if we see corn production, the bars show the cropland, the dark green, light green is production, red lines are yields. So you see that in different periods, the first one, we had yields of 17 quintals per hectare. In the 60s and the 50s, these are conventional corn crops. Then the hybrids and their impact, an increase of 50% in 12 years, then no-till farming that allowed us to leap forward with a 25% increase in yields. And finally, the combination of no-till farming with new hybrids and fertilization programs plus biotech that allowed on the same amount of land produce a much higher yield. As to soybean, it's different. There was an expansion of the cropped area, that is the green, the light green, the bars is the production, and the blue line, the yields. Yields are kind of stuck because we have not worked on new soybean germplasm, but the trend is upward. Let us remember that yield many times is not yields are not related to the use of GMOs, but to the germplasm in the seed that is planted. This is the GMO's adoption in Argentina in corn, cotton, and soybean since the 90s, 96, 97. This is Argentina, where we compare the use of GMOs in the U.S. and in Argentina. In the United States, 82 are approved, in Brazil 36, Uruguay 14, Paraguay 7, Bolivia only 1, Argentina. I think yesterday I set my signature on the 29th approval. In the past 40 years, we have approved 14 events, 4 in the past 2 years and 14 in the past 15 years, so we have adopted international regulations. What is the impact of GMOs as to the use of agrochemicals? Check the year 1995. I will take longer since I'm the last speaker. In 85, class 1, that is in red, we used more dangerous products for human health. This was all over the world. Here we reduced their use due to the adoption of biotechnology. Class 4, the green ones are the less toxic, and they were not much used. But check 2011, we have no red, yellow is relatively small, blue is just class 4, class 3, and the green, most of it, is not dangerous. Because somebody mentioned the use of agrochemicals, and you see how Science allows us to stop using dangerous agrochemicals. I cannot criticize the use of DDT and insecticide, because unless I used insecticide in those years, the problem with insects was killing our agriculture. DDT is not Coca-Cola, I understand that, but unless it had existed, humankind will be starving because of pests and plagues. But currently, the use of that insecticide is crazy. So the use of insecticide should be analyzed in the context they are used. As to the other technology, precision agriculture or ambient agriculture, I understand many hectares in Argentina are using precision agriculture. I don't know exactly how many hectares, but it's growing quite rapidly because it manages inputs in a more efficient way and it produces better results. Precision agriculture is differentiating the high land from the low land from the slope. I'm using a GPS and a satellite. We produce small squares of 2 or 3 square meters, and we can fertilize by adjusting the fertilizer dose to the type of land using the GPS technology. So where do we get with all this if we compare corn, the high land in a plot and the low land? We can have a differential application, and you see that the amounts of fertilizers differ, and the potential yield in the lowland is 12 tons per hectare, and in the highland, 7 tons. This implies savings and fertilizing excess. These are some innovations. Maybe you've seen it yesterday, this technology, the silo bag, which is a very simple thing that allows us to store grain for a certain amount of time, about a year. Yet another technology that has impacted very positively in Argentina agriculture is farming equipment that has been adapted to the new type of agriculture. It's been developed by Argentine companies and engineers. Most of the manufacturers are here in this province, and you can see the exports, how they have increased. This is soybean oil. I'm not going to mention it. This is the production area, the production volume. Those who took the boat tour could see the oil complex cluster. This is biodiesel. This is bioethanol. I would say that Argentina is moving forward with corn-based bioethanol, but we are betting on sugarcane bioethanol because it doesn't compete with food and because it gives us a very competitive cluster that is sugar, bioethanol, energy cogeneration with bagasse, and paper mill from sugarcane bagasse. It's an equation that is very good and very efficient, very sustainable. Sugar has a very low price in the world, and it's preferable to use it for bioethanol or bioenergy from sugarcane bagasse. We are investing $100 million alone from CAF to develop a cluster in the northwest where small farmers would be able to be part of the cluster, becoming shareholders of bioethanol facilities instead of increasing or expanding their sugarcane cropland. As I said, Argentina produces a lot of raw materials and with agriculture, livestock and forestry. So we have available biomass and a potential and an energy potential. Biomass is in everybody's agenda, especially in developed countries. Argentina has a great potential to use biomass, not only from forestry, but also from other types of residues or waste, such as Germany, Italy, and other countries. So we will work on biorefineries, because biorefineries gives us vegetable proteins, biofertilizers. The vegetable protein goes to produce meat, that goes to food processing, and then we have biofuels, forestry, and all that converge into biorefineries and oleochemicals as byproducts that come back to food processing. So it's a virtuous circle. There's a lot to work on from this concept of biorefinery. I'm not going to teach any European about this, you know about this, but Argentina has a great potential. When we talk about value added, this is an example in a potato chip package. Argentina is in the second link of the chain. We have potatoes that are paid 78 cents to growers, then we have different types of potatoes, and the potato chip package costs 170 times more. This is value adding, and this is what every country wants, to add value in their countries to any primary production, because value adding is employment, and what we are discussing is who's creating new jobs. China will try to crush more and more beans to create more jobs and buy less and less oil from other countries. The same will happen with other products. So all of us should move forward in this direction. I'm not going to talk about livestock. I will just mention milk production. The slide is in English. This province is one of the main producers. Last year, about 11,000 million liters of milk. Per capita consumption is high. We drink a lot of milk. We drink milk and we eat milk. 220 liters a year. 75% of the milk is produced in four regions. Factors that have determined the increase of production: the introduction of the expansion of the frontier, the inclusion or the adoption of new technology, the application of the Smart Agriculture Program, and strategic planning. Argentina has thought about, has created or developed a strategic agro-food plan. It has called or summoned many institutions to discuss different matters, all the universities, trade chambers, commerce chambers, or chambers of commerce, and different institutions such as CEPAL, FAO, the UNPG, and we have established a number of targets, and we are trying to attain them. So let me just say that Argentina has a lot of strengths, many programs that are proper to the international market. We will continue working, and farmers, I believe, will continue to adopt technologies. We only have to discuss bovine cattle, a significant production in Argentina that still needs to adopt a lot of technology to produce more calves. Calf birth rate is not efficient. It is the same than 50 years ago, and that's a challenge. Poultry has responded to our strategic plan. We have increased from 12 kilograms by mid-90s to 40 kilograms today. So poultry has adopted technology and it's currently very competitive. I'm not going to talk about fish and fisheries, which is capture basically in agriculture. We can expand in aquaculture, we can expand, but we are basically doing capture fishing. Thank you.